Daniel selected verses from chapter 12. Hear the word of the Lord. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish, such as never occurred since the nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, keep the word secret and the book sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be running back and forth, and evil shall increase. I heard, but I could not understand, so I said, my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are to remain secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified and cleansed and refined, but the wicked shall continue to act wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. But you go your way and rest, and you shall rise for your reward at the end of the days. This is the word of the Lord. I've been preaching through the lectionary during the season of Epiphany. But to use some football language this week, I'm going to call an audible. I'm not going to preach from the lectionary this week. I'm calling an audible. Today is the final Sunday in Epiphany. Next Sunday is Transfiguration Sunday, followed by Ash Wednesday. And I talked a little bit about that. We have an Ash Wednesday service from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. And then it's the season of Lent, and then we're into Easter. So things are going to be kind of just blowing here over the next several weeks and months. So I wanted to take this opportunity today to kind of step away from the lectionary. During the season of Lent, as I've noted, I've been preaching from the lectionary, which has texts that highlight that we are to be a light of the world. That's what the season of Epiphany is about. And for the last 3 weeks, I've been in Matthew in chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. And in Scripture, it indicates that we have to have a balance that is in our lives, a balance between what I would call doing and being. And as a pastor, I have to be mindful that my preaching isn't all about doing. Now, don't get me wrong, that's important. Our actions are important. How we live our lives, that is important. We should live lives as faithful disciples. We are to live out our faith each and every day, and we should be representing Christ to the world. And Jesus affirms that in the Sermon on the Mount. He says we are to be the salt and the light of the earth, so we are to be a people who are holy and righteous, and we are to be a people who follow Jesus. That's what the season of Epiphany is about. But on this final Sunday, I selected a text that I believe falls in the framework of Epiphany. It does have, it talks about light and how the righteous will be like lights in the sky and things like that. It is a text about how we are called to be faithful. But it is also a text that sustains us during difficult times. I've been the pastor at the Becker Church since 2011 and here since 2014, so I have both these churches. And I don't think I can think of a time in the time that I've been down here that has been more challenging than the times we're in, like right now. Many people in this church and the Becker Church are battling health issues. Some are in the hospital. Some are back home from the hospital recovering. And it's a difficult time for many folks who are hurting in that way right now. the caregivers of those folks find it very challenging right now because they're trying to care for their loved ones. They're trying to do what they need to do in everyday life. And that can get kind of overwhelming for caregivers as well. So it's a very stressful time for them. And there are many people here today grieving the loss of a loved one. I know that Landon and Catherine are back in town, and I think they're having the service for the premature death of their baby. And I think Belvin and Jim are at that. And so there's a lot of people just feeling that sense of loss right now. Combine all that with the fact that you turn on the TV and it's utter chaos. It just is tension all over the place. So it gets kind of overwhelming, I think, for folks. And I sense that overwhelming sense right now in the congregation. So I turn to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is a great book to turn to during difficult times. It's only 12 chapters long. I encourage you to read it. It's very simple to read. It's an interesting story. It's got a lot of different things in it. The first six chapters tend to talk about Daniel and how he is living out his life. And the final chapters, verses 7 through 12, have some dreams and visions in it and things like that. So it's a different type of, it's almost like two different books in one. So in the beginning chapters of 1 through 6, we learn about Daniel and how he leads his life. And he lives during some very difficult times after the fall of Jerusalem. The Babylonian Empire is taken over. These are difficult times. Like many devout Jews, he prays three times a day. He prays in the morning, in the afternoon, he prays in the evening, and he continues to pray, ignoring the edict by the king who puts out this edict saying, the only prayer that's taking place is to me. You're going to pray to me, and that's that. And Daniel says, I'm not doing that. I'm going to pray to God. I'm not going to pray to you. So where does he end up? The lion's den. That's why he's in the lion's den, because he won't pray to this king. On another occasion, Daniel defies another order of the king. And the king indicates that the fiery furnace awaits you, Daniel. If you want to do it your way, you're going to go into the furnace. So his response to that was, if our God, whom we serve, and he's talking about the other folks with him, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, there's three people with him. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods and we will not worship the golden statue that you've set up. So he sets up the statue. Everybody's supposed to worship the statue. Daniel says, you know, God may deliver us. He may not. It doesn't matter to him. I'm going to worship God. I'm not going to worship this statue, this idol that you have set up here for us. So Daniel follows God's ways. He adheres to God's ways in difficult times. So I guess the overall theme for the first six chapters in Daniel is this. It says, be a faithful community. And to do that, we must actively resist the faith denying elements in our culture, whatever the cost. Sometimes that cost can be pretty high. Obviously pretty high for Daniel, but it can be high for us as well. And that cost, I think, is continuing to go up. Now, Daniel was brought up in a faith community that gave him the tools and the resources to resist those faith denying elements of the culture. Now, it's my personal belief, I think the church, one of the church's biggest failures in the last generation has been to give people the tools and the resources necessary to resist the faith-denying elements in our culture. The church has not done a good job at that. That's just a fact. The church has not done a good job at that. Consequently, people have drifted away from the faith. And some people will say, well, I don't need to go to church. I can worship God in my own way and kind of live out my life, and God is with me and all that. I think that's kind of foolish on their part. I think trying to go it alone in this day and age is difficult. But in their defense, they may not have been given a lot of substantive things that's useful in their lives to live out their lives. I think the church may be guilty of some of that stuff. But that's going to be a sermon for another day. If you want to hear a sermon kind of like that, come back on May 21st, Heritage Sunday. That's what I'm going to be preaching on, kind of about. Because we have a heritage. Daniel had a heritage. His heritage seemed to sustain him. Not sure our heritage is sustaining us as well as it should. But that's for another day. So these first six chapters, Daniel remains faithful during difficult times. So he continues to do. I was talking about doing. He's doing things, living out the faith in difficult times. But in chapter 7 through 12, it takes on a different tone. It's called an apocalyptic tone. It's like the apocalypse. It's just visions and things like that. He's given visions and dreams about things that are going to take place. And in the final chapter, in chapter 12, it's kind of the culmination of that. And basically it's saying God is a God who is involved in history. He's not distant. He's not disconnected from the world. And God is going to bring about his purposes and his goals for this world. And as I said, we see the culmination of that here in chapter 12. If you begin reading the Bible in Genesis, and you start reading, you'll have to read through 26 books of the Old Testament before you come across a text like we see in verse 12. And here's that text. There shall be a time of anguish, such as has never occurred since the nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. So these few verses right here today are talking about the resurrection of individuals at the end of time. So it's talking about a general resurrection, and that's foreign in the Old Testament for 26 books until you come to this book. And Daniel starts talking about the resurrection of individuals. You kind of get hints of that maybe in Isaiah or Ezekiel, the valley of the dry bones in Ezekiel. Anybody remember that story? There's a little song, what is it, the leg bones connected to the thigh bone, you know, and these bones are coming back to life and things like that. Now, that's not really about individual resurrection. That's more about the nation of Israel being brought back together and brought out of exile back to Jerusalem. So it's not really about individual resurrection. But this text here today points to that. And Daniel's the first one who brings that about in Scripture. We hear the word justice quite often these days. Everybody's seeking justice. People's definition of justice may be in line with God's vision of justice, may not. But people are seeking justice these days. And as people of faith, we often seek justice from God. But the fact is, we may not see the justice we seek in our lifetime. The book of Daniel reminds us that God's righteousness and God's justice will prevail. So that's an important aspect, an important component of the resurrection is justice. Because God will deal with things justly and righteously. And he will do so in the resurrection. That's when he will judge all things. And God will deal with things justly because God is just. Occasionally in the Bible, we'll see an angel or a messenger of the Lord speak to somebody. In the Bible, there are two archangels, main angels. There's Gabriel. You might remember in Luke chapter 1 where Gabriel shows up there to Mary and to Zechariah, and he says, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I've been sent to speak to you and to bring you good news. That's kind of the Christmas story there in Luke, right? And that's Gabriel. Gabriel shows up only one other time in the Bible. It's in Daniel. He shows up in Daniel. The other one is Michael. He appears in the final two books of the Bible, the book of Jude and Revelation. In Revelation, a war breaks out in heaven, of all places, for a war to break out. War breaks out in heaven. Michael and his angels fight against the dragon. So Michael's kind of this mighty angel. Outside of those two books, the only other place where Michael shows up in the Bible, Daniel. So these two powerful agents of God show up in the book of Daniel. So that's probably a clue that what Daniel has to say should be taken seriously. In our text today, the angel tells Daniel, he says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky and lead many to righteousness. And those are fitting words for the season of Epiphany, this final Sunday of Epiphany. We are to lead people. We are to be a light to those in this world. We are to lead people to the ways of righteousness. He goes on to say, but you, Daniel, keep the word secret and the book sealed until the time of the end. And many shall be running back and forth, and evil shall increase. Another translation of this says that many shall be running back and forth, and knowledge shall increase. So whether it's knowledge or evil, people are going to be running around back and forth with knowledge and evil increasing. Now, there are many pastors, many Christians who love to focus on end times prophecy and things like that. The book of Daniel, they get all jazzed about that. The book of Revelation, they get all jazzed about that. I'm not one of those folks. I tend not to focus on the end time thing and try to figure all the dates out and things like that. That's not me. But I can't deny the fact that there are a lot of people these days running back and forth, claiming to have knowledge, and evil is just abounding everywhere. It's kind of there right now. And like Daniel, we live in times where we need to seek out true knowledge from God that leads to righteousness instead of the knowledge of man, which leads to evil. But now Daniel's kind of like us, and he doesn't seem to be content with the answer that the angel has given him. And he says, I heard, but I could not understand. So I said, my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are to remain secret and sealed until the end of time. Many shall be purified, cleansed, and refined, but the wicked shall continue to act wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. But as for you, go your way and rest, and you shall rise for your reward at the end of the days. Now, how often do we ask, how long? How long do I have to go through whatever you're going through? How long is this going to continue? And Daniel's asking that question in a roundabout way, saying, how long? How long do I have to endure? How long will things go on this way? In Revelation chapter 6, there's a great scene in heaven that's unfolding. And there are those who are brought out of the tribulation, and they're in heaven. And what do they say in heaven? Revelation chapter 6. They cry out with a loud voice, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long will it be before you judge the inhabitants of the earth? They were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer. Like Daniel, there are times when we are told to be patient and to rest. So in other words, there are times when the Lord will say, this is not a time for you to do something. This is a time to simply be, to simply rest and rest in my presence. We face difficult times, we want answers, but often we do not receive the answer we want. The answer we receive is to be patient and to rest. Sometimes we get so busy doing that we forget to rest in the Lord. We need that time of rest. We need that time of prayer. We need that time of reflection. Often the world sees that as doing nothing. Sometimes we see that as doing nothing. But it is not that way. We're actually doing something very important. We are praying and reflecting on the Lord, and sometimes that is the best thing to do. And it's during those times that God will sustain you. I've probably told this story before. If I have, I apologize. I'm getting older. I forget what I say from time to time. I remember the last time I saw my mother. She had advanced Alzheimer's. She didn't know me. She didn't know my dad. She didn't know anybody. She didn't speak a word. Occasionally, a smile would drift across her face. She sat at this table in this nursing home. She had a room. She's sitting at the table in a chair. And she couldn't remember anything. She sat in the chair resting. I take comfort in the fact that even though she could remember nothing, God remembers for her. God knows all that there ever was, and all that is, and all that will ever be. Not only for my mother, but for each and every one of you, and for everybody in the world for that matter. So go home and comprehend that. That kind of knowledge and wisdom of God that He has. He has that type of knowledge. So I rest in that fact that there are some things that I can't comprehend, and I'll just leave that to God. I also rest in what Paul says about Jesus. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace that He lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, He has made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure that He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. So a lot of times we want to know, what is God's plan? Jesus Christ is God's plan. That is His plan. That's what Paul's saying here, that all things will be taken up in Him, and all things will come to fulfillment in Him, and we can put our faith in Him. And we can rest in Him. So I wanted to call this audible today just to remind you that it's not always about doing. I preached on that quite a bit during the season of Epiphany. We've been doing a lot of things here in the church, and we're seeing fruit from that, and things are growing, and that's good. But I do have to say that there is a time just to simply rest. And sometimes you reach that point where you can't do anymore. You can't do it. And that's okay. Take that time to rest in the Lord and to listen to what God has to say and how God sustains you through those times. Because there are times when we are to be called to do things, but there are times when we are called to simply be. And sometimes the Lord says, go your way. Rest. Rest in Me. As our common phrase is today, the Lord says, I got this. You're okay. I got this. I think we need to remember that from time to time. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.